seal my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house. Why to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
He said, and to be able to say it in a way that the people will be able to understand. I ask you, Lord God, that I will come across as someone who is very sincere and someone who is speaking from the heart and not from the head. I pray that I will not be perceived as one of those people out there that are covetous, that are greedy, but I will be seen as a servant of God trying to help your people. Deliver my soul this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Without a doubt, the year 2008 has been a very interesting year for many of us. I can give microphone to people in this church and let them tell you what they've been through this year. There are many things that 2008 can be remembered for, but there are two specific things that affect the whole nation. The first is the election of the first black president in the history of the United States of America. His being in office was actually prophesied about 4 years ago, that now God is going to turn around and start putting black people in positions of authority in America. When I heard that prophecy, I never thought God will start from the position of the president. I want you to listen to me very well this morning. God has a plan for your race. You didn't hear what I said, but I will say it again. God has a plan for your race. And it's not going to be because you're smart. It's not going to be because you pray a lot. It's going to be because of the sovereignty of God. A time is coming when God will raise up more millionaires among black people than we've ever known. And if anyone said Obama will be the president this time last year, everybody will say, you're kidding. It will never happen. And he is. There's nothing anyone can do about it because God put him there. He's not there because he prays a lot. He's not there because he goes to church a lot. He's not there because he reads the Bible a lot. He's there because God wants him there. Turn to someone and tell them, where God wants you, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you where God wants you. Where God wants you. And I say to myself, hey, if God can do this for someone who is not as religious, quote unquote, like most of us are, how much more? Are you praying? Keep on praying. Are you seeking God? Keep on seeking God. The God of heaven hears and he answers prayers. And what you are seeking for, God will make sure it takes you there in the mighty name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen to that? Ooh, there's hope for us people. There's hope. The second thing I believe that this year will be known for is the economic meltdown that hit the United States of America. This financial problem has not discriminated against any race, has not discriminated against any religion. Did you read in the news about how many churches in New York area have closed their doors? Many churches in this area have had to shut down because they couldn't pay their mortgage. But beyond that, many churches have been taken away by the banks because they cannot pay their mortgage. I have an article that he sent to me this past week, and I went through it. I was in another state, and I was told that about 7 churches are up for foreclosure in that state. Things are hard. Things are difficult. But isn't it amazing that in the middle of all this, the bank came to us and reduced our mortgage? And said, instead of taking your building from you, we'll make it easy for you to pay the building. I'm telling you, the God of favor is behind this church. Just hang on. The battle may be hard. The battle may be long. But at the end of the day, he who laughs last laughs best. So we understand that there is a lot of trouble everywhere financially. Many people, saints and sinners alike, have one way or the other been affected by this economic slowdown in this country. I've been thinking about this for several weeks, and I said, God, what's the plan that you have for your people? As we close this year, I want to bring you a message that I believe will help you to understand how you can be financially on top in this coming year. You see, God has certain principles and precepts that he has already laid down for his people's financial freedom. And I believe that once these principles and precepts are followed, famine or no famine, economic downturn or upturn, God guarantees that his people will always be provided for. There are about 12 principles, 12 precepts. You can also call them 12 practices that guarantee financial freedom for God's people if they are followed. I've already talked about at least 11 of them behind this pulpit from time to time over the history of this church. There's only one that I've never talked about. Let me go over the 11 that I've already talked about that will help you out financially. If you want to be financially stable, financially strong, if you don't want to be affected by all the things that are going on around us, number one, make God your friend. You know what I found out? God always takes care of his friends. Now let's look at it in the natural. You have a friend that is in trouble. What do? You run to their rescue. Your friend needs money. Your friends need automobile. Your friend needs this. Your friends need that. And you just, the compassion just rises in your heart and say, that's my friend. I need to rise up and help him. If we as humans will do that, how much more God? You want to have money in your pocket? You want to be financially stable? Then make this God of heaven your friend. The Bible calls Abraham God's friend. And can you imagine how God took care of Abraham, his friend? The second principle, the second precept is that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says, and all these other things shall be what? Shall be added unto you. If you will be someone that pursues everything that has to do with the kingdom of God, then I guarantee you that God will always pursue and take care of things that are connected to you. The third principle I see here is that you should learn to sow seeds. And Brother Mike preached a beautiful sermon on that one day that I was not here. If you want to be blessed by God, sow seeds into people's lives. Sow seeds into good grounds. Find good ground and, like the farmer, sow seed into it. And you will see that at the end of the day, when the harvest comes, you will surely reap for the seed that you have sown. Number four, be a giver. Be a giver. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. If you want to be blessed by God financially, learn to be a giver. Number five, take care of the poor. The Bible says the poor will always have around us, among us. Poor in your family, poor in the church, poor in your community. Find them and bless them. This season of the year is when we give money to those who don't need it. We give gifts to those who don't need it. But if you will find some poor, needy people, like we taught in Bible study one of these past Wednesdays, you will see that God will look upon you and say, the money you give to the poor, you lent to me, and I will surely pay you back. And those of you who have been doing that know how God has been blessing you when you take care of the poor. That leads me to number six. Go out of your way to be a blessing to other people. You know, sometimes people hit a very turbulent time in their finances. They are not poor, but it just happens that things take place that affect them financially. Be a blessing to such people. Don't say, well, he makes $50,000 a year. Why should I bless him? He makes $100,000 a year. Why should I help her? Or why should I help him? But the truth is, they have just come across a time and a season when things have not gone well the way they should. Then be a blessing to them. If their car breaks down and you have two cars, loan them your car until they have their own car back. Go out of your way to be a blessing to other people. Number seven, pray wealth releasing and wealth transferring prayers. You need to add that to your prayer points, that God will release wealth to you, and God will transfer the wealth of the unrighteous into your bank account. And you'll be surprised what God can do in response to prayers like that. Number eight, be faithful in paying your tithes and in paying free will offerings. Don't come to church and say you don't have any money to give. Make sure that everything that comes your way, you pay a tithe every time you come into God's house. And the week that you don't even have a tithe to pay, make sure that you have an offering in your pocket. Don't go to God's house empty-handed. Because these are the ways that the Almighty blesses us. Number nine, if you want to be blessed by God, you need to walk hard. Not just walk, but walk hard. I look at some of you and the way you walk. And I almost sent a text to one of you this past week, but I just didn't get to doing it. Because on Christmas Day, an individual here told me, I'm going to work and I have to be at work all day. And I said to myself, this is a hard worker. Now, when this person starts to live in an expensive house, starts to drive an expensive car, starts to wear an expensive dress, some may look at this individual and get jealous of them and get envious of them. But they are simply reaping what they have sown. You have to work hard. And if I may also say to you, go to school. Did you hear what I said? Go to school. It is never too late to learn. Don't remain a CNA forever when you can be an LPN. Don't remain an LPN forever when you can be an RN. Don't remain an RN forever when you can also increase your earning capability by going to school and just get an MPH or get a higher degree. Get yourself some education. America is a place where you can be easily educated. And I found out that education commands more money to come into your pocket. That's the truth. I thank God for burger flipping. But if all you want to do in your life is flip burgers, that's what you do all through your life. Make minimum wage. When actually you can go to college for 4 years still flipping burger. Or maybe 6 years if you go in the evening. And at the end of your 6 years, you come back with more finances in your hand. So work hard. And if you need to go to school and get more education to get a better job, by all means do that. Don't get lazy in your spirit, because all those things just attract poverty. Number 10, avoid getting into debts. Don't borrow money except you are ready to die if you don't borrow money. That's the truth. Trust God to the point of death. And then if there's no way out, then you can go borrow the money. Because the borrower has always been known to be a servant to the lender. If you can just go debt-free in everything you do, it will be fantastic. Now, even inside this church, you need to be very careful how you borrow money from people. Especially those of you who are ministers in this church. How can you borrow money for 2 years, you don't pay it back, and expect people to listen and be blessed from your ministry as you stand here to teach, as you stand here to pray, as you stand here to do anything? And then you say, my God can supply. And the person that you owe money for 2 years is looking at you, which God? Which God? Apply what you preach to yourself. And so as much as possible, if it's within your power, don't go around borrowing money. God has enough in his reserve. And if you can stay on your face before God and ask him to help you, he can supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Number 11, invest wisely. Invest wisely. Be careful of the Madoffs of this world. There are many of them out there. Don't just go put your money into some Ponzi scheme that promises you a return that makes no sense. When someone promises you 30% a month, then you know within 30 days you'll be developing migraine headache. Or you may pay you for a while, it's going to be trouble. I would rather be paid 6% a month and have it on a regular basis than someone who promises to pay me 20% a month. And to even get 6% a month is a joke in this day and age that we live in. So when you invest, invest wisely. And find a place that your money will be safe. Find a place that your money will bring you good return. Find some good business that God will lead you into to put your money. Because the richest of men and women in this world are not those who work 9 to 5, are those who have some business that they can put in God's hand and say, God, please bless this for me. So number one, make God your friends. Number two, seek first the kingdom of God. Number three, sow some seeds. Number four, be a giver. Number five, take care of the poor. Number six, go out of your way to be a blessing to other people. Number seven, pray wealth releasing and wealth transferring prayers. Number eight, faithfully pay your tithes and free will offerings. Number nine, work hard. The laziness never attracts prosperity. Number 10, avoid getting into debts. The only time I will ever advise anyone to get into debt is if you have a business ahead of you that you know will give you a good return. And then you borrow your money to do that business, and you, within a short time, you return the money to the owner, and then you take your profit and run for your life. That would be a good way to make use of the money that is available there, and then invest wisely. You say, Bishop, which one is the number 12? The number 12 principle is a very explosive principle. One that I have never talked about behind this pulpit. As a matter of fact, I've been preaching full time for 26 years. I have never, ever, ever, ever stood behind any pulpit here or abroad to talk about this principle. Now, some of you might sit down and wonder, Bishop, why have you kept quiet about this principle for about 26 years? I'll tell you why. As a matter of fact, the brother standing over there Brother Harmony gave me a tape about a year ago. Is it about a year ago? He gave me a tape about a year ago on this subject. The moment I got a tape from him and I looked at the title, and it's about this 12th principle, I thanked him and I made up my mind that I will not listen to the tape because it's a subject I don't want to talk about. Now, I did not throw the tape away. I just put it in my inside my desk, in one of my drawers, and left it there for the past 12 months. Now, what happened was he gave that same tape to two other people in this church. And one of them came to me and said, "The chairman give you this tape, a tape to listen to?" I said, "Is it on XYZ subject?" He said, "Yes." Oh, I said, "Yes, he did." I smiled, shrugged my shoulder, and that was the end of the discussion. I never went to listen to it. Now, here's what happened. About 3 weeks ago, I was cleaning out my drawer, and I saw that tape that you gave me. And you know how the Lord speaks to you. The Lord said, "I'm going to give you that tape about a year ago." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You refused to listen to it." I said, "That's right." And the Lord said, "Why?" And I told him why. I said, "It's not that I don't believe in the topic, but I'm so sick and tired of how ministers have used this for personal gain. And I made a vow to you that I will not allow anything to be done in fresh anointing that anyone will use for personal gain. I've seen pastors unfairly manipulate God's people. I've seen pastors and bishops and ministers upon ministers abuse this truth. And I said, I can do without preaching it, and your people can be blessed." And the Lord said, you must really be smart for you to think that I put something in my word and you can walk away from preaching it and expect people to be blessed by what they don't know." I said, "There are other things. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. If they do the 11 and it's just the 12 they don't do, no big deal." And he said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge. Partial knowledge is like no knowledge. You need to give my people complete knowledge. And that's how my people can be completely blessed." Honestly, I was reluctant. And he said, "Will you now listen to the tape?" No one ever told God no and got away with it. So I said, "I'll listen to it." So I took it, put it in my car. I never listened to it that day. But eventually, I listened to it. It's not so much the tape, because everything that was said on it, I'm quite familiar with it. It's the bias I have in my mind to what I've seen in churches, among pastors, how they use this to manipulate God's people. This morning, I'd like to apologize to Brother Harmony. I'd like to apologize to the other two brothers, especially the one that came to me in my office and wanted me to preach this maybe about 9 months ago. I'd like to apologize to the whole church for keeping mute about this truth for about 7 years since we've been here. Yes, there are indeed 12, not 11 principles. And the 12th one that I have kept quiet about, and I'll tell you why I've kept quiet about it as the sermon progresses this morning, is the most explosive, and it is called, listen to this, you've never heard me say this, the first fruit offering. The first fruit offering. We've talked about every other thing, but I've never talked about the first fruit offering. That's what I've been impressed upon to share with you this morning. Many of us know about tithes. Many of us know about offerings. Many of us know about seed offering. Many of us know about giving to the poor. But very few Christians know about the first fruit offering. And I found out that discovering this principle opens the door to explosive financial prosperity. I'm going to take you step by step through several scriptures so I can establish this, not from my own human wisdom, but from the written word of God. Let's begin from the book of Exodus, because not too long after the Bible is opened, you begin to find God talking about first fruit offering, first fruit offering, first fruit offering, first fruit offering. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 19 and verse 20, God specifically says, all, not some, not many, not most, all that openeth the matrix is mine. And every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. All, again, the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou redeem. And none shall appear before me empty. God says, everything that comes into your hand the first time belongs to him. So those of you who are firstborns in this church, how many of you are firstborns? Wave your hand at me. Very good. There's a special dedication that needs to be done for you. And I'm going to do a special dedication for every one of you firstborns, which your dad and mom never probably did. Either the last Sunday of this month or the first Sunday of February. And you will see what will happen to your life from that point on. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That doesn't mean a call into priesthood. I know some of you are so scared to see what is going on with me, you don't even want to touch the position of a pastor. But there's a dedication for the firstborn. We always talk about the travail of the firstborn in deliverance, because there's a lot that firstborns go through. But the reason we have to preach that is because most firstborns were never dedicated to God. The same thing God is saying, he said, for every firstborn in your family, it must be dedicated to God. But not only that, if you have cattle, the first child baby that cow or that sheep or that goat has, you give it to God. And because of that, every other child that comes behind that child is totally dedicated to God automatically. A special blessing of God comes upon the ones that follow after the first one. Exodus 34, I got many scriptures. Let's run on. Verse 26. The first of the first fruits. You hear that? The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. You saw that? The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Now, things have changed over the years. Do you know why those old churches have what we call the harvest? This was the reason for the harvest. They understood this old principle that everything that you have on your farm, as you get them out, you bring the first fruits to the house of God. Now, what is done with it in the house of God, I will explain to you momentarily. But over the years now, harvests have become a time to party, a time to drink, a time to have a good time. We've lost the original purpose. Now, many years ago, when I was in Africa, I used to travel to the eastern part of Nigeria. Now, I have never seen yam like I see or like I saw in eastern part of Nigeria. I'm talking about, you just ask yourself, where did they plant this yam at? You can see a yam that is as wide and as big as this, long. And whenever I traveled, I always made sure I came back home with tubers of yam for my family. One day we were buying yam, and an old man looked at another man and said, "We have one thing in this part of Nigeria that we call Yam Festival." See, it's from this principle that these people got that idea from. But like every other thing, we have mixed it with idolatry. We have mixed it with godlessness. So the Yam Festival now in those parts of Nigeria has become a time for drinking koinkoin, for drinking Guinness, and don't worry what koinkoin, I just spoke in unknown tongues. For drinking things that you shouldn't drink, for wearing things that you shouldn't wear, for doing things that you shouldn't do, it's been totally misunderstood. But the original purpose was to say, God, we thank you for the product of the farm. We thank you for the product that you have given us in our farms. And here it is. We are bringing the first fruits to celebrate and to dedicate to the God Almighty who gave it to us. This practice is what the average church person don't have any idea of today. Now let's read more scripture. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, 10, 11, and 12. I hope you all are opening your Bible, because this is some truth that we have not been taught like we should be. And I think I am personally guilty of that for reasons that are not acceptable to God. Leviticus 23, 10 through 12. Speak. You hear that? Speak. Unto who? The children of Israel. So this is for the people of God. And say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the what? First fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Shall bring it to the priest. And he shall do what? Wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf of the lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So they brought all this in and say, this is my first fruit. This is for the Lord. If you planted tangerines, or you planted oranges, or you planted grapefruit, whatever comes forth out of it first, you give it to God. And then you will see that tree. There is no infestment of insects that will ever destroy that tree. Because the first that came of it, you gave it to the Lord. If you have a land and you plant things on the land, the first thing that comes out of that land, you give it to the Lord. While other lands in that area are running barren, that land will never run barren. If you have a cow and the first baby that cow has, you give it to the Lord. That cow will never, 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 never have any problem with having children as long as it lives on the face of the earth. But because we don't understand the first fruit offering as commanded by God, we get what we get, we keep what we get, and we battle along and struggle along, and eventually we lose what we get. Leviticus 19, 23 to 25. And when ye shall come into the land, God saying again, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. This is even neat. He said, when you get to the land and you plant some fruit tree, he said, the first fruit that comes out is uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you, it shall not be eaten off. Isn't that something? He said, when you get to the land that the Philistines used to be, the Jebusites used to be, the Amorites used to be, and you plant an orange tree, he said, for the first 3 years, every fruit that comes from that orange tree, he said, don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. And look at verse 24. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord with us. The first 3 years, nothing. Then the fourth year, you take all the fruit and say, we are going to use this to praise God. Now look at verse 25. And in the fifth year now, shall ye eat of the fruit thereof. Look at the next statement. That it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. Now look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 8. And it shall come to pass, it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, all right, that thou shalt take, hear this, thou shalt take of the fruit of all the fruit of the earth, all right, whatever the fruit is that is there, take it, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt put it in what? In a basket. And shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days. Say, I don't know who the priest will be, but take everything, take it to the priest, and say to the priest, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I'm come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest, listen now, the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian, that's Abraham, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And I went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked upon our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And you know what we have done? The things that we got first in this land, we have brought it to you, God. It's yours. We give it to you. Ezekiel 48 in verse 14. And I'm going to walk my way till we get into the New Testament. Ezekiel 48 verse 14. And they shall not sell it. And say they want to pay the American Express bill. They shall not sell it. And say they want to pay their mortgage with it. They shall not sell it. Neither shall they exchange it. Nor alienate the first fruit of the land. Why must they not do that? Read. For it is what? Holy unto the Lord. Folks, I wish we understood this truth. And I wish we practiced this truth. It will go a long way in helping us out financially. These scriptures that I just read, they speak for themselves. They don't even need my commentary. But let me share with you a few observations from those verses. Giving our first fruit to God means we are giving God our cherished possession. That's what it is. I mean, I have a goat. The goat finally has a baby. That's a cherished possession. And I carry that baby, I take it to the Lord, And I say, God, I give it to you. And the priest takes it from my hand and he waves it before God. And he says, this belongs to God. Well, the goat only had one baby. Yes, it is a cherished possession, but I'm giving it as a first fruit offering unto the Lord. That's number one. Number two, it shows our commitment to God. It shows we believe that from him came everything, from him is everything, and I've just given him the first to show him how appreciative I am. You know, years ago when I left high school, I was working as a village teacher. And then they gave me my first salary. You too. I know. I got my first salary. I say, yay. This is my first salary. You know what they call Heineken? I went to a beer parlor. I finished everything. The Heineken. Then I got to the house. My mother said, my son, where is your salary? I said, what? Salary? What? My salary? I said, what do you want to do with my salary? I said, give it to your dad. I said, did he walk or did I walk? So he has his own job. I have my own job. And I was drunk. And my mother looked at me and said, ah, my son. He said, that's what all your elders have done. He said, when you first, your first salary, give it to your daddy. Let him pray on it for you. If he wants to use it for himself, let him use it for himself. If he feels like giving it to you, let him give it to you. He said, this is your job. You have turbulence in it. Oh. That's what she told me. She said, you have turbulence in this, your job. And I did like this. I reject it. I didn't know Jesus, so I didn't say in Jesus, I say I reject it. And you know what? I had turbulence on that job. That would be a story for another time. So when I was studying for this, I said, even these Africans who don't know God know that I, as his son, will never have been without him. I, as his son, that he sent to school, that he spent money on, that he clothed, the first salary I made, what gracious thing will that be to be a source of appreciation? And say, Daddy, thank you. Help me pray on it. I will never say, keep it. But I just say, help me pray on it so it may be well with me. Do you know how happy my father will be that eventually my son is now earning salary? He doesn't have to come to me for money. I can even now go to him and get money from him. That is the culture that my mother talked to me about. So my junior brother, when he finished his own school and he started work, I said, please, the thing that happened to me, I don't want it to happen to you. If you are broke and you need money, I will help you out after you give that money to my father. Amazingly, he took the check, uncashed, to my dad. He said, Daddy, pray on this for me. And my father said, ah, you are a different child. Now, that's a loaded statement. Say, you are a different child. My father prayed until the paycheck became wet. And you know what he did? Give it back to him. He said, go and spend it, and may God prosper you. And I look back at the challenges this young man has had in his life. I see prosperity all around him. The same principle is your heavenly father, who has more than my earthly father. When you get that thing, I know it means a lot to you. I've seen one or two people do it in this church. One or two people. I don't want to mention their names. One or two people have done it in this church. Their very first paycheck, the job that they got, he brought it to me in my office. He said, Bishop, take this. And I said, what is this? He said, this is my first money that I got. Somebody even came and just signed over the check. And I said, no, sign it to the church. This money, I can't take it. We have to give this to God. And we prayed. One who even left it in my office, thought it was given to me, I turned around and put in the offering. You may have turbulence on that job. You may have problem on that job. But the problem will not swallow you up. Because you have put God first. It was the principle that Elijah told the widow woman. Well, I don't have anything. Said, make for me first. It's your first fruit. He said, just give it to me first. God is not here. I'm the one representing God. He sent me to you. Give me first. And see what will happen. And guess what happened? The cruse of oil never failed. All the other cruses of oils in the other places failed. But her own never failed. And even when her child passed away, resurrection power came upon her family. We've lost a lot of blessings by not understanding this truth about the first fruit. It means that God, I'm committed to you. And I'm giving this to you. It also shows that God is my priority. You know, when you have a paycheck, the first thing you are thinking of, let me go buy a shoe. Let me go buy a tie. Let me go buy... No. I give it to God. I give it to God. I give it... You have a rental property? The first rent in that property. You know who it belongs to? It belongs to God. Now, you watch from that point on the kind of tenants you will have in that place. You watch. Termites will come into other people's house and will not touch your house. The city will give other people problem, will not give you problem. Because the first rent, whether it's small or whether it's large, you took it and you say, God, thank you for giving me this rental property. It's yours. I give it to you. Oh, the business you have, the first income for that business, you say, God, you gave me this business. It may be a big business, maybe a small. It may be a small business. Some of you who sell shoes. The first shoe you sell, you take the money for the shoe. Say, God, this business is yours. Or maybe you have a big store. The first day that you have the store, whatever income comes on that day, it may be $3 because business is always very slow on the first day. It may be $10. It may be $3,000. You say, God, this is yours. Take it. I give it to you. Now, these are principles that have been laid down. He said, God, you are my priority. You gave me this. I'm honoring you first. And then watch what God will do. Number four, the first fruit is a lesson in divine exchange. God wanted to give Abraham Isaac. But you know what God did? He said, give me Ishmael first. Ishmael was the first that came. But God had a plan for an Isaac. But an Isaac did not come until Ishmael was surrendered, whether willingly or unwillingly in the case of Abraham. And then guess what happened? Here came Isaac, the one through whom the promise of God was fulfilled. You say, Bishop, why haven't you talked about this all these years? You ask. I will answer. Do you know what some pastors do? And it just makes me angry. Every January in their church is first fruit month, which is okay. Then they will stand with their pot belly and they will take the people's money. Are you listening to me? And they will put it in their bank account. And they will say, God said, give your first income to the priest. And it is the property of the priest. I say to myself, this is not fair. One of the pastors under me in Fresh Anointing did it. It almost broke his church. And I supported the breakers. He collected thousands of dollars that January. And when the treasurer said, the account is still the same, what about the money we collected for the first fruit offering? Go read the book of Deuteronomy. Go read the book of Nehemiah. Go read the book of Numbers. Go read the book of Exodus. Every first fruit offering is for the priest. I wanted to go and slap him. The priest in those days never got a penny. How can any pastor in America today justify using the first fruit offering for his own greediness? They make him enough money. The church buys them car, pays for their car, pays for their rent, pays for this, and gives them extra money every week. And then in January, you bring your pot belly. You got to bring it to the Lord. So the Lord can bless you. Don't steal from the Lord. And there are these innocent parishioners who don't read Bible, who don't have enough sense to know that we pay this man now. We have a problem with our mortgage, we have a problem with light, we have a problem with this. Our first fruit offering can go to those things and let this man be taken care of by the church like it has been. But they will take it and they will still come back to you next Sunday and say they have no money. So I made up my mind I will never talk about this. That's my first reason. But I see I'm hindering you from being blessed. In this church, your first fruit offering belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. Yeah, go ahead and give him praise. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to my wife. It doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to the house of God. Back in those days, priests never received a penny. It's whatever they brought that they brought. But now, some priests make better than the members of the church. And listen, sometimes my wife laughs at me. She says, you know, you're a good pastor. You first make sure the bills are paid before they pay you. She says, some pastors will not do that. Pay me first. Pay me first. If it remains to be for to pay bill, then we pay bill. But I don't do mine like that. But that will not even tempt me to go and touch the first fruit that somebody brought to the Lord. Don't let We live in an age in America now when people start churches, not for what they can put into it, but what they can get out of it. And you know what saddens me? There are PhDs sitting in the church. There are JDs sitting in the church. There are MDs sitting in the church, but they have eyes they don't see. And they begin to just give these people, give these people, give these people. They have pastor's anniversary, they give him again. They have pastor's appreciation in October, they give him again. They have a pastor's birthday, they give him again. And then it comes in January, hey, first fruit offering, and we gotta do the right thing. Oh yeah. And they'll be saying, oh yes. Don't let anybody fool you. And we will not fool you in this place. When we give it to the Lord because it belongs to the Lord. Here's the second reason why I don't do it. Why I've not done it till now. The Bible says, whatever comes in first. Isn't that right? That's what the Bible says, whatever comes in first. So why do you make it compulsory that the whole of January salary belongs to God? Why? Because you want maximum? You can't prove these things from the scriptures. Whatever comes in first. Isn't that what the first fruit is, doctor? First means what? Number one. But I have listened to tapes, I've read books, I've listened to pastors who will say, every month of January's salary is God. How would they pay their bills? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the first. Give it to God. That means if you are paid every week, all right, the salary you get at the end of that week, whatever they write to you, is your first fruit. That means that really, the first fruit of him may be 2 weeks. The first fruit of me may be 1 week. The first fruit of him may be 1 month. Do you understand what I'm saying? The first fruit of him may be 1 day. Whatever comes in first belongs to God. Now. If you're a real giver and you want to give him the whole 12 months, God will not say no. In fact, you will be mightily blessed for doing that. But let's face it. Say, whatever comes in first. Like, you get paid every week. All right? So, whatever comes in first to me in January, I know is God's. Fortunately or unfortunately, you get paid every 2 weeks. So, your own is not 1 week. Your own is 2 weeks. That's the check you got. Give it to God. Unfortunately, super unfortunately, for you is once a month. Sorry, Uncle Mo. You give it to God. This is my first fruit. This is what came in for. But I've listened to tapes, I've read books. Pastors want maximum money from you. So they come and say, the first month offering belongs to him. But there's nothing wrong with that. Seriously, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. You can't give too much to God. But let's be faithful to what the Bible says. All right? The Bible says, whatever is the first fruit that comes in, give it to God. If you want to give him the whole month, that's all well and good. But it's the first one goes to God. And those of you who have stores, you open 1st of January or 2nd of January. When you open and you cash that register, they buy this, they buy that, they buy that, they buy that. At the end of that day, all right? Whatever comes in that day is your first fruit for that year. You take it, you give it to God. This is the way to be blessed. You have rental properties all over the place. The first rent you get for the year, you give it to God. See how other people's pipes will be busting during the year. Yours will never bust. Because God says, He took me first. Now this is why I don't like preaching this. Because there are people who will say, no, that's not the way. It's supposed to be the first salary. It's supposed to be the first month. However they do it is their business. No. The Bible says the first that comes in is what you give to God. And it is a lesson on dependence. Because I know you are people that do budgets. You've budgeted the first month. Some of you have even budgeted your overtime. That's why when they don't even ask for you to come and do overtime, you volunteer because it's part of your budget. But that means that things are tight. You see, you're likely to say, things are tight. Hey, I cannot pay it. You depend on God. That's what first fruit is, dependence on the Almighty God. And let me tell you something. When you give the first to God, it sanctifies the rest. It sanctifies. Somebody open Romans 11:16 for me. Romans 11:16. Very quickly. My time is telling me I have 2 minutes 47 seconds more. Romans 11:16. Quickly. If I go over, Brad Jacob, it's because people are not opening their Bibles quickly. All right, Jennifer, you found it? Romans 11:16.
Now, I want you to listen to this. For if the first fruit be holy... the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches.
If the first be holy, if I get paid, God, please let me get paid. If I get paid the first week in January at the end of the week, because many times I don't, that means I take that money and I bring it to church. And I said, this is my first fruit for 2009. I give it to God. All right? Guess what happens? God says, the rest for February, March, April, May, till December, God's hand is upon it. They'll be firing people around you like this. And they will not find you to fire. And they will say, why are you not firing him? God says, I have a covenant with him. I had a covenant with him in January. He gave me his first fruit. And because the lump that came first was holy, every other one after that is holy also. Now, this triggers God's super abundant supply. That's what it does. It triggers God's super abundant supply. You see, the word that is translated first fruit in the original Hebrew means the promise to come. See, that's what the first fruit is, the promise to come. So when I give it to God, I say, God, take this. Ah, that's the promise to come, the promise of prosperity. The scripture we read in the book of Proverbs, turn there with me, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. There's something I want to show you there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Rawale, you are there. Take the microphone and read. You know, we use this for tithes, but it's really not for tithes.
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Stop right there. Honor the Lord with thy substance.
And with the first fruits of all thine increase.
You see that? Honor the Lord. It's a honor. You're honoring God by doing this. I honor God with my first fruit and the first fruit of all my increase. Then what happened?
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty.
He said, God said, don't worry. Once you do it, I will do something to your barns. I will fill your barns with plenty. Uh-huh.
And thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Ooh, does that sound like explosion? God said, I will bless you and I will explode it for you. I will explode it for you. Everybody say, I need an explosion. You know why? Where the explosion comes from? January is around the corner. And what we're going to do in January is every Sunday in January till the first Sunday in February, we will collect the first fruit offering here. And they will bring the offering here. We'll lift it before God. And we'll bless and say, God, this is the first. I'm not going to ask you to even come forward. They'll pass the offering plate. You put your first fruit offering. We'll do it every Sunday. For those of you who get paid the first week, that's your week. For those of you who get paid every 2 weeks, then the second Sunday is your week. Whatever time you get paid, if it's 1 month you get paid, then the first Sunday in February is your week. And then you come forward here, we pray for you. And those of you who are firstborn, first week in February now, I'm sure, first week in February is your week. We're going to pray for all of you and bless you and dedicate you to God all over again. And the Bible says, your barns will burst with new wine. Listen to this. I had a story in the tape you gave me, and I have to give credit to that. This guy, he started walking somewhere, and he walked there for 3 months. They never paid him a penny. And in his church, they believed in first fruit offering. So when he got this job, first month, no salary. Second month, no salary. Third month, they paid him 3 months in arrears. Now, what do? I know some of you will divide it by three. Divide it by three and pay that. He said, no, this is my first fruit. So he told his wife, I'm signing this over to my church for the work of the ministry. And the wife kind of, the friends around him said, you are crazy. You've carried this. This is why I say church people are blind people. How can you go and give this to the pastor? He said, it's not the pastor I'm giving it to. In our own church, our pastor doesn't eat it. It goes to God. So he came to church. When they were giving the offering, the whole 3 months, because that was his first fruit, he signed it over, put in the offering plate. You know how the devil talked? The devil said, you just played a fool of yourself. How will you eat? How will you take care of your family? You are stupid. Religion without sense is senseless. And he said all kinds of things. He said, no, I've obeyed God. So the service was over. They said the grace. He walked outside the church and his phone rang. True story. His phone rang. He picked it up, said hello. It was a man in charge of hiring in his office. He said, Mr. So-and-so, is that you? He said, I hear some noise. Yeah, I'm in church. He said, listen. Our managing director just resigned. Would you be interested in the position? True story. You want to go and pray about that? He said, yes. And he said, can you take up his post tomorrow, Monday? He said, yes. His own wasn't long before God elevated him. The most difficult problem here will be fear. That's the truth. Will be fear. But if you will just cast away your fear and do what I've told you this morning, 2009 will be the best year that you ever experienced in your life. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for helping me this morning to deliver my soul. Thank you for giving me the grace to preach this. And I apologize again to you, God, for the bias and for the unwillingness because of what others have done and how others have used the hard-earned money of your people for their own personal gain. But the truth is the truth, and I have told your people. Now I come against all the birds of the air and all the whisperings of the wicked one. Lord, I bind them right now. And I decree, Lord God, that the word that have been sown will get into good ground in the hearts and the lives of your people. And that as we come together every Sunday in January till the first Sunday in February, grace will be given for your people to be obedient. And we know that as we obey, our bonds shall burst forth and great and mighty things will happen to each and every one of us. Lord, we are going to another year. This year is finished. The tax year is closed. We are beginning anew. And we as your people will honor you with the first fruit of whatever we get from our income, from our business, and even from our farm. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. All God's people said,
praise the Lord.